Can I ever speak too much about meditation? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Can I ever speak too much about meditation? I don't believe so. As I go up and sit here on our Om bench, or on the upper Om bench, I look out across the valley. I look out across the mountains. I look out across the vastness of space and time. I look up on top of the mountains and I see windmills standing there, 25 of them, maybe 30 of them, running across the top of the mountain. The wind is spinning them at a glorious speed. And I look at another device, which is a device for receiving messages from around the world. I look at other hilltops and I see houses built up there where people want to build their houses on the very top. They have to have long pipes down into the mountainside to bring up the water. I look around and I see all of these things, and as I see them, different thoughts go through my mind. Different ideas go through my thinking, and I think to myself, what's that all about? What's that all about? Why are these thoughts going through my mind? And then I just sit there and close my eyes and listen to my inner self, and I say, why are all these things there? Why are these things attracting my attention? Why am I thinking about them at all? And I say to myself, well, to meditate means to think about. And so you're meditating on these things because you're giving them some intuitive thought. You're giving them some inclusive thought of saying to yourself, I wonder what it's all about. And every time you say to yourself, I wonder what it's all about, you answer yourself and say, well, this is what it's about. And you have the tendency to say, inner self, don't be so flippant like that and answer my questions as though you know what you're talking about. The inner self says, well, I do know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you mean you know what you're talking about? If you know what you're talking about, why haven't you told me all these things before? Well, I haven't told you these things before because you haven't sat in meditation and said, I wonder what these things are all about. Well, yes, I have. I've said that often. No, you haven't. You may have had other people say it. You may have had it flit through your mind as quick as a bunny and here and then gone and then not thought about it. But positive, definite thinking on any topic gives you the opportunity to have the topic revealed to you. Our scientists do not have the genius of the universe within them for no reason at all. They tune into aspects of it. All scientists do not claim all knowledge within them, all wisdom within them on all subjects. They just think about certain areas. And as they think about certain areas, then that wisdom on that certain area begins to reveal itself to them. Now, there are no books written that tell the story that they want to understand. Other people may have thought about it and written about it, but they put down their thoughts. And their thoughts are merely the depth to which they went into their consciousness, into their awareness, into the allness of the knowledge that they were seeking, of the knowledge that they were seeking to reveal through themselves as the channel, through themselves as the awareness. Now, all of us have that exact same ability. Now, are we training ourselves through meditation to be aware of whatever it is we'd like to be aware of? Are we training ourselves through meditation to be in the understanding of these things that are touching our life? Are we training ourselves? Are we listening to our intuitive awareness and following it with all our heart and soul and being? With all our heart and soul and being, my God, that sounds terrible. That sounds too intensive. Yes, that's right. It does sound rather intensive. But when a child wants something, a child is persistent. A child is a pain in the neck until the child gets it. The child is persistent. The child thinks of ways of getting it. The child's mind is totally on that thing. And as that child is illumined by an inner awareness, the child says, ah, yes, I don't go through the front door to get it, I go through the back door to get it. I'll go through the back door and say, hey, Dad, you're wonderful. You're so intelligent. You know, it's really a pleasure to have you as my daddy. You're the best daddy in the whole world. And Daddy knows that's a come on, and he knows that's a controlling bunch of statements, but he still loves it. And then you say, Dad, how can you know all these things that you know? You're so smart. And Dad blossoms. And then he says, Dad, show me how you learned to do whatever it is Dad does well. And Dad says, okay, I'm an architect. Here's how I do it. Here's how I think of creating something in architecture. And so he goes with his son and goes into the intuitiveness. Now, the son hadn't thought he was going to get that intensive a lecture, but he was ready. And so he listened to his dad. He said, gee, Dad, that's interesting. Gee, that's interesting. And sincerely, he's listening. Sincerely, he's taking the information his dad's giving him. And then he says to his dad, in conclusion, golly, Dad, that's wonderful. I think I could stand something to eat, or I could stand something or other. And the dad says, yeah, me too. Let's go down and buy an ice cream. And so the two of you go out and buy the ice cream, which is the idea that the boy had in his mind from the beginning. Now, he also got a lot more in the process, because he was willing to do the meditation on everything that needed to be done. He needed to win his father over to his side, thinking that they needed to have an ice cream. But he couldn't just come out and say, we need an ice cream, because when he says, we need an ice cream, the dad will say, oh, yeah. Another time. No, I got too many things to do. No, I'm too busy. But the minute the divine intelligence, the minute our intuitive awareness, the minute our father is brought into the act by our meditation, by our attention, by our awareness, then the divine intelligence, the divine awareness, our father, however we want to call him, reveals to us that which we choose for ourselves. Now, the boy couldn't say, let's see, I guess I'm going to have to learn about mathematics today to get an ice cream, or I'm going to have to learn about Shakespeare or Plato or Aristotle. I'll have to learn philosophy today to get something. He doesn't say that. He says, okay, those are all avenues to arriving where I want to arrive. And that is arriving at the point where Dad says, okay, I think it's time for us to take a pause and go get something special. How about a hamburger? But it's about an hour before supper. That's okay, let's go get a hamburger. So you go down and you get a hamburger, and you go to the hamburger shack, and you get a beautiful hamburger with all sorts of pickles and relish and everything else on it. A big bun, big hamburger, a double whopper, and you eat the hamburger, and you have a malt with it, and you think, oh, it's so good. And then you finish it, and you walk home, and when you get home, Mother says, now get cleaned up, it's time for supper. And she can smell the hamburger on your breath. And you get cleaned up, and you get ready for supper. And you sit down at supper, and your conversation is so interesting at supper. You're talking about such beautiful things that interest you, that delight you, that you eat your supper without even realizing it. And you've had a double whammy supper. And you see, life is like that. When we are in our intuition stage, when we are in our meditative stage, when we are meditating, time means nothing. Experiences mean nothing. We flow with the allness of life. And the doors are opened up for us for all the adventures that we could ever desire. What is it that you would like in your life? Do you want to be independently wealthy? Well, I think that's a crock. That is really a crock. You don't want to be independently wealthy because you're always thinking about limitation. You're always thinking about not having. You're always thinking about wanting, 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 wanting. Well, that's not being independently wealthy. Being independently wealthy is having and appreciating what you have, delighting in what you have, and knowing that everything that you think about is yours now and is revealed in your life, however it's going to come in your life. You don't know. You don't know what the pathway is. You don't need to know. All you do is you think about a thing and you claim it as yours and it is yours. And you live in the independent wealth of having all that, anything that pleases you or delights you. And you will not think about a lot of things that please and delight other people or that are called wealth. You'll think about things that are really wealth. You'll think about health. You'll think about happiness, harmony, peace, joy, wisdom. But you'll also think about things too. You'll think about a lovely house. And as you think about this lovely house, you just let it be in your consciousness, let it be in your awareness. And every day you look at this lovely house in your mind, and you'll polish it, and you'll affirm it, and you'll enjoy it. And lo and behold, in no time at all, that house will be yours. And the more often you do this meditation in its effective, efficient manner, the more quickly you will reveal all of the things upon which you meditate. But you don't meditate on something to bring it forth. You meditate on something to have it be in your consciousness as a real thing. You meditate on something to have it in your world as an objective reality, not only subjective, but an objective reality. And as you do this, it becomes that objective reality because you allow yourself to realize that you're revealing it from within yourself and it's always been there all the time. Now, this is true for all of us. And it's just a matter of learning how to meditate, learning how to listen within. And each time I sit on the meditation bench, or each time I sit in my meditation chair in my home, in the Hermitage, I look out my windows. I have windows on all sides of the house, and it's just lovely. I look outside the windows, and I see life going on. And then I think of how beautiful it is, and I think, well, isn't that interesting? The bird is there and is there, just like a flying from, how can a bird fly? Why can't we fly? What gives a bird the privilege to do the flying and man has to take an airplane? Well, let's fly with our mind. That's an interesting thought. And then I close my eyes and I see myself entertaining this concept. This is how we enter into meditation. We let the thoughts of our mind, we let the ideas that flow through us, we let the concepts of who we are and what we are be revealed in our life. For this is what they truly do. Can you imagine the fish coming out of the water as an amphibian and becoming a frog walking on the ground? Can you imagine a lizard? Can you imagine a dinosaur? Can you imagine all these things? They all were ideas of mind, and they were all projections of thought. And they were all the revelations of a conscious awareness, thought evolving through that system. Well, you and I today, we have that same metamorphosis in us going through all of these aspects. But we don't have to. We can go from where we are to where our thought takes us in the flash of a blink of an eye. And as we do that, we are there. Now, we can stay there if we want. And our body in this dimension will disappear or we'll find the new taker for it. However it is. Every time we have surgery and we have heart transplant, we have the consciousness, we have the awareness of the being that had that heart in them, in us, according to what science says. And that means that even in our physical life, we are not destructible. We are always living somewhere. We're living in the consciousness and awareness. People who read my books and books of people that I read are so fantastic. And I am in their mind. I'm in their consciousness. I'm in their oneness. So always be careful what you read, that it is about what you really want to think about. What are the ideas you really want to think about? What are the dreams? If there's anything that is not harmonious with what you believe for yourself, cross it off. If you have a dream and that dream is not harmonious, wake yourself up right then, because you know it's not harmonious, and you say, hey, I don't dream those sort of things. I do not allow those sort of things in my consciousness. And then you dream about what you do allow in your consciousness. Set the course so whatever your thought is, what are you going to think about? What are you going to dream about? What are you going to have as your meditation? What is it that is important to you? Think on these things and let them be your reality. For surely what you do think on is your reality. And is that all? No, indeed. It's just the beginning. Dwell with me in meditation and enjoy its fruits. I love you. I love you. I love you.